Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Erev in Daf Zayin. We're picking up in the Gemara about 12 lines from the top, Nil v'Machlokas, with the words Amar Rav Shizvi. We're learning today's shiur, Lili Nishmas, Harry Katowitz's cousin, Sizja Leia Bas Yehuda. All the Shams we learned for Shadab and Aliyah. Now, remind us, yesterday, we brought down that the people in the city of Naradoi, they followed, in a certain situation, a Chumrah of Rav, and also followed a chumrah of Shmuel. And the Gemara brought down the pasuk for Mishlei that they're like fools walking in the darkness. How do you follow a chumrah of two different people? Either follow one Rebbe and go l'chumrah l'kula, or follow the other Rebbe and go l'chumrah and l'kula, according to that Rebbe. Here, why did they follow the chumrah of Rav? We were talking about a mavui that was Akum, it was bent, and Rav's chumrah was, we view a mavui that's bent as a mavui mefulish, and therefore it requires certain types of corrections to it to allow you to carry in it that a mavui sosum would not, a closed mavui would not. So he considers the bent mavui, the right angle mavui, to be an open mavui. That's the chumrah of Rav. But he has a kula, he says, like the opinion of the Tanakhama of Hananya, that when you do have a mavui mefulish, you only require that one side has a tzuras pesach and the other side can have a lechi or a korah. That would be fine. You don't require a door, a wall, on one side. And on the other hand, Shmuel has a chumrah and a kula over here. Shmuel says that we view this mavoi akum, this bent mavoi, as a mavoi sasum. It's closed off. But he says in this situation, when you have a mavoi that is mefulash, he requires a door, not a tzuras pesach. You have to have a wall or a door at one end and a lechi or korah at the other end. So in this situation, the people in Naradoi, they had this situation of a mavi akum, and they went l'chumra like Rav, that it's considered a mavi mefulish, but they also went then l'chumra like Shmuel, that it requires a door and not a tzuras pesach. And that was the question for the Gemara yesterday. Why do we follow, why did the people of Naradoi follow the chumra of Rav and the chumra of Shmuel? They should have picked the shita, follow Rav, okay, then you do need a tzuras pesach. You need it to consider it like a mavoi that is mefulish, but you don't need a wall, you don't need a door. Or follow the opinion of Shmuel, and oh yeah, if it was a mavi mefulish, we'd need a wall or a door, but it's not a mavi mefulish. We consider it a mavi sasam, and you just need a lechi mikan, a lechi mikan. That was the question. We gave a teretz yesterday. We said that teretz is a good teretz. However, according to the opinion that doesn't hold fully, like a certain shita that we said yesterday, that teretz isn't a good teretz, and therefore we pick up today 12 lines on the top, Zayin Omer Aleph, Omer Rav Shizvi. Rav Shizvi gives us second teretz here. Omer Rav Shizvi. That which we said, that it's improper, like a fool walking in the darkness, that if a person follows chumras of people, just follows chumras, that we said is not a good idea. When should you not follow the chumras of two people? If they contradict each other, Kigon, for example, the case we're going to give in a moment. But if they don't contradict each other, they're just two chumras. One has nothing to do with the other. So then you are allowed to take two chumras. So you're allowed to pass it like Rav, because that's the sheet that you want to pass it like, albeit he's l'chumra. Then you can, in a different situation that's not contradictory to that case of Rav, you could pass it like Shmuel l'chumra. And that's not considered a problem to follow a chumra of Rav in one place and a chumra of Shmuel in another place. And that's what the people in Naradoi did. Now, where do we say the Sasri Adod? They give us an example of where they're contradictory to each other. So that's Kigon, Shedra v'Gulgoles. In the case of a Shedra, Shedra is the spinal cord, and the gulgolus is the skull. Now, we have certain dinim of tumah and tara that are going to be dependent upon having an intact skeleton. Normally, the din is that if you have a nebuch a mace, so that mace is going to impart tumah. Now, there's tumas ohel, but you need to have a significant portion of the mace there to have tumas ohel. Tumas ohel is something that is a complicated subject to discuss. Basically, for our simplistic purposes for now, if a mace nebuch is in a funeral parlor, so anybody else in the funeral parlor is going to also become tumay mace, being under the same roof as the mace. So that's called tumas ohel. The other types of tumas ohel, the mace is over you, or you're over the mace. But for a simplistic understanding, this is tumas ohel. You have to have an intact mace or a significant portion of the mace. What happens if you're missing certain parts of the mace? So it depends. If you have an intact skeleton, or close to an intact skeleton, even without all the other things, without the basar, so then you're also going to have tumas ohel. The mace is capable of metaming with tumas ohel. But if it's missing a certain percentage of the bones, And here we're specifically discussing the vertebrae in the spinal column or in the skull. If a certain percentage of that is missing, so then there's a machlokas beis hilel beis shammai, how much has to be missing in order for it to no longer be able to be metamei to a soul? It's still going to be tamei b'maga umasa, because then the rule is by bones. If you have etzem kisora, we had this the other day, so then it's metamei maga and masa. But if you want to be metamei to a soul, you have to have a relatively intact shedra and gugolas. So that's the first din that we'll talk about. The second thing we'll talk about is an animal that's shechted. If you find certain deficiencies or anatomical abnormalities, known as trephas, so the animal was shechted, but it's not able to be eaten. So it's not an avela, this is an aside, because you shechted it, but it's not going to be kosher to eat because of these trephas. This is called the trepha. Now, certain deficiencies are present to make an animal a trepha if certain... there's a certain chisarin, a certain lack in the spinal column, in the vertebral bodies, and or in the gulgolas, in the skull. So this is a parallel din. So you have lacking chisarin in regards to ilchus tumah that won't make it be metame tumas ol, and you can have lacking that in regards to a shchita will not make it a animal able to be eaten because it's a trefa, because it's missing a certain amount of the gulgolas or the shedra. Now we can see inside. Kigon, this machlokis over here, where their sasri ahadadi is as follows. Kigon shedra gugolas. The shedra, again, the spinal column, and the gugolas is the skull. The tnan. We have a Mishnah in a number of places. It's in Chulin, it's in Olos, and in Bechoros, and it tells us the following. If you have hashedra v'hagugolas, the spinal column and the skull, if they're missing, shechosu, they're missing certain pieces of them, they're not going to be metame tumasol. That's the Mishnah telling us this. We'll see in a moment the parallel din in regards to trefa. So if it's missing a certain percentage of the shedra and gugolas, it's not going to be metame tumasol. V'kama chisaron, how much has to be missing? So in regards to the shedra, bishedra, how many of the vertebral bodies, how many of the backbone pieces of the skeleton have to be missing? So here you have beishami omrim shtei chulyos. In order for it to not be metame tumasol, it has to be missing two of the vertebral bodies. Beisil omrim, no, if it's missing one, it loses its status of being metame tumasol. So Beis Hillel is a more makel shita than Beis Shammai in regards to this din. Beis Shammai says you have to be missing two chuyos to take it out of the din of being metame tumasol. Beis Shammai says no, even if you're missing one vertebral body, it's no longer able to be metame tumasol. That's in regards to the backbone. Ubugugolas, in regards to the skull, Beis Shammai yomim kimelo mikadeach. It has to be the amount of a mikadeach. Mikadeach is a type of a drill. If you look in the Pirish Chai, so the Pirish Chai brings down in diagram number 66 a machlokis from all those, where he says there are two different opinions. Divrei Rav Meir is that it's talking about a small type of surgical drill that was used by the doctors. It's very interesting. As an aside, we have archaeological evidence, evidence from finding skeletons of dead people in burial sites, that they actually had surgical procedures done that removed pieces of the skull. And how do we know they didn't die from the procedure? Because you could see the growth of bone for years and years and years. They could show that there was additional growth of bone before the person passed away, because you can see the bone growth. And if this surgical procedure killed the person, you wouldn't see the additional bone growth in the skeleton that occurred after the surgical procedure. So they actually could do various neurosurgical procedures 2,000 years ago. And they would cut out with this drill, this type of mikadeh, pieces of the skull. That's the opinion of Meir. And the Chachamim say that it's a larger one that they used, and it was making a hole the size of a punjon, a certain type of a coin. In any event, that's Pirish Chai. You can see this from the Mishnah in Olos, on diagram number 66. In any event, Beis Shammai says it's the size of this drill, making a hole the size of this drill, which is roughly the size of a certain coin called the pudjon. He says it's a slightly smaller amount. Beis Shammai is a little bit more mako, and says if you're missing a piece of the skull, that if you were normally to take that out of a person, the person would die. So then this is the amount of skull that's missing that no longer is going to allow it to be metame tumas oha. Tells us that whole discussion over here. So if the person is going to die, so obviously it's going to make them into a trefa. And he talks about how deep the penetration of the hole has to be. There's a cut through the different membranes surrounding the brain. In any event, ayin and tosus. So this is the machlokis that we have over here in regards to Tumas Ohel. Beis Shammai says you need to be missing a larger amount for it no longer to be Matamei Tumas Ohel. In other words, if it's only missing a small amount, it is Matamei Tumas Ohel. And Beis Shammai says, no, even the smaller amounts, even one vertebral rod, or even the smaller size hole, is going to make it no longer able to be Matamei Tumas Ohel, and it's only going to be Matamei Magen Masa of Etzem Kisora, if you have a piece of bone the size of a barleycorn. Now, the Amr of Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, along comes Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, and he says, the chen le'inyan trefa. The same exact thing applies in regards to a trefa, that if you shechted the animal and it's missing these amounts, so then it is considered a trefa. So Beis Hillel has a smaller amount that's missing in order for it to be considered a trefa. According to Beis Hillel, if you're missing even one vertebral body, or if you're missing a smaller piece of the skull, the animal can't be eaten. It's not going to be a kosher animal. It is a trefa. So in this situation, if in regards to Tumas Ohel, you're going to be machmir, so then by definition, you have to be makel in regards to Hilchas trefa, and vice versa. So here's an example of if you pick two chumras, they're contradictory to each other. The sasri hadadi, and therefore you can't go and follow these two chumras. That's what Mishle is telling us, that you're like a fool walking in the darkness. That's what the Gemara told us, that you shouldn't follow two chumras. It's when they're contradictory chumras. However, in this situation, avol hechel de lo sasri hadadi, where the two are not mutually contradictory. You could follow Rav's opinion and say that it's a mavi mefulosh, and you could also follow Shmuel's opinion and says it. In a mavi mefulosh, you need to have a door at one end. You can't have a tzuras haPesach. So therefore, you're allowed to go and follow two chumras. So that's the Gemara's second answer to our question. Gemara says, really? Is that so? If the two are actually contradictory to each other, like we just brought down from the Shedra and the Gugolos case, you can't follow the two machmir opinions? I'll show you that that's not true. Moshe B'Misharshi, B'Misharshi has the following shaila. Mais B'Rabbi Akiva, there once was a case with Rabbi Akiva, and what happened? Shalikate Esrog, he gathered in an Esrog. Now an Esrog, normally we think of an Esrog as meaning one Esrog. So Rashi points out of here, Shalikate Esrog means Kola Ilun Kori Esrog. So he went to take the Esrogim off a tree. Otherwise, if it's one Esrog, it really doesn't make sense with the story. In any event, he collected a whole bunch of Esrogim. Now when did he do this? This was B'Echod B'Shvat. Now, there's a famous machlokes, right? We all know Tu B'Shvat, but not everybody agrees that Tu B'Shvat is the Rosh Hashanah for the Ilonos. It's a famous machlokes with the Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai holds that Tu B'Shvat is not Tu B'Shvat. The new year for the trees, and this has halacha l'maaseh ramifications for taking off maisros, is going to be Echod B'Shvat. So Beis Shammai says, for example, if you're in the second year, you would take off Maaser Rishon and you would take off Maaser Sheni. But if you're in the third year, you take off Maaser Rishon and you take off Maaser Ani. So what happened now? You're going from the second to the third year, Rashi says, and if it was the new year for the trees was on Echod B'Shvat, it's now the new year for the trees. So therefore, you're in the third year and you have to take off Maaser Rishon and Maaser Ani. But if you hold like Beis Hillel, that Tu B'Shvat is the new year for the trees, so then you're still in the second year on Rosh Chodesh Shvat, and you take off Maaser Rishon and Maaser Sheni, because you're not yet in the third year. So that's what happened. Maaser Rabbi Akiva Shalikit Esrog B'Echod B'Shvat. He collected from this tree the Esrogim on the first day of Shvat, and he didn't know whether this is like Beis Shammai, or at least that's our Habamina right now, whether we pass it like Beis Shammai or we pass it like Beis Hillel. And therefore, he said, if we pass in like Beis Shammai, so that I'm in the third year, I have to take off Maaser Ani. If we pass in like Beis Hillel, I'm still in the second year, I have to take off Maaser Sheni. Right? You always take off Maaser Rishon, that's a given. Of course, you take off Trumas as well. The Noag Bo Beis Isurin. And he did two Maasers over here. Now, what does it mean, he did two Maasers? It means that he did Maaser Sheni and he did Maaser Ani. He did the second year tithing, which would be Maaser Sheni, and he also did the third year tithing, which would be Maaser Ani. Now, on the surface, that sounds like he took off 10% and gave it as Maaser Sheni, and he threw off another 10% and he gave it as Maaser Ani. But Tosa says that's not what happened. Tosa says, Nogbo, Beis Yisurim, says, Mefarish B'Yushami, brings up from the Yushami, She Yisrael Tnai. So what did he do? He took off this 10% and he said, if this is Maaser Sheni, so I'm giving it the Kedusha of Maaser Sheni. And then he redeemed it. You'll have to go redeem your Maaser Sheni, and he redeemed it for $100. Now, he says, if it was really supposed to be Maaser Ani, here's the $100, I'm giving it to the Ani. So Mimanushach, he did one tenth. He took off a single tenth over here, which functioned both as Maaser Sheni and as Maaser Ani. Anyway, that's what the Yushami says. Now, here's the question. The Nog Bo Bezi Surim. But we just said you don't have to go two chumras over here. So why did he do the two chumras? They're contradictory to each other. It's either Maaser Sheni or it's Maaser Ani. It's either the second year or it's the third year. So he seemed to be going like two chumras that are Sasri Adode Kasha. Shmua says no. Rabbi Akiva, Gmare Istapikle. Rabbi Akiva says, of course we pass like Beis Hillel. There's no doubt in my mind about that. But I don't know what Beis Hillel Shita is. We know Beis Shammai says it's Echad B'Shev B'Shvat, and that we say Beis Hillel says two B'Shvat. But Rabbi Akiva wasn't so sure about that. Rabbi Akiva said, "I'm not sure." V'lo yoda I Beis Hillel B'Chad B'Shvat Amor was Beis Hillel's sheet, the one that says the new year for the trees is Rosh Chodesh Shvat Echad B'Shvat, or Ibechameser B'Shvat, or does Beis Hillel hold two B'Shvat Amor? So he was in a suffix as to what Beis Hillel's opinion was. It wasn't a suffix, well, follow Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. He says, I don't know what the answer is. I don't know if Beis Hillel holds like Echad B'Shvat and we're in the third year already, or Beis Hillel holds that it's two B'Shvat and we're still in the second year. And therefore, v'avid hachal l'chumra. So therefore, he was machmir within one shita, within the shita Beis Hillel, since he didn't know what the shita was. So it was machmir to do, like the Yerushalmi said, to take off the Maaser, and say, this is Maaser Sheni, and then redeem it, and say, in case it's Maaser Ani, I'm giving it to the Ani, and I fulfill both ways. But he wasn't following two contradictory chumras. Where it continues and says, Yosef, Rav Yosef, Kameder Rav Huna. Rav Yosef was sitting in front of Rav Huna, and then it says, V'Yosef, and he was sitting. So I've mentioned this many times. In those days, the proper etiquette was that you'd be sitting in shir with the Rebbe, and if you had a question, you would stand up. And the Rebbe would recognize you whenever he did, and then you could sit down and ask your question. So that's why we often have the Gemara, Yosef and Yosef. So Yosef, Yosef, Kameder Rav Huna. Rav Yosef was sitting in front of his Rebbe, Rav Huna. And he was then recognized, he stood up, he was recognized, and he was allowed to ask his questions. So Yosef, he sat down, the comment, he said the following statement. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, he said, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, that there's a machlokes bisratya mikan, bisratya mikan. Now what are we talking about? We have a mavui that is mefulish. The mavui is going through and through. On one end, it has a sracha, and on the other end, it has a sracha. What is a sracha? So Rashi reminds us that this is a type of Rishus HaRabim. We discussed this in the Gemara in Shabbos. And a sracha is a derech hiluch b'nei odom. It's like a highway. There's a normal big road, and it's big enough that it is a Rishus HaRabim midya raisa, where you have at least 16 feet wide and possibly 600,000 people going through there. That is a Rishus HaRabim Sracha. That's on one end. Or you have Flatya. You have on one end a Flatya. Sracha, Flatya, both Rishus HaRabim. You could have a Sracha on one end, Flatya on the other end. Both Srachas, both Flatyas, it doesn't make a difference. Flatya was like a big market street. Rochov Lushvakim. And what you have here, Rashi continues, V'hechad Dishnei Roshin Mufuloshin Rishus HaRabim. You have this Mavui, and on one end you have a Rishus HaRabim, either a Sracha or a Flatya. And on the other hand, you have a either a Rishus HaRabim, either a Sracha or a Flacha. And this is the machlokis that we had between Hananya and the Tanakhama of Hananya. Tanakhama said you could matir such a Mavui Mefulish by having a Tzuras HaPesach on one side and an Alechi Akor on the other side. And Hananya said you need to have a Delis at least on one side, according to Beis Hillel. According to Beis Shammai, you need a Delis on both sides. And that's the discussion we had in yesterday's Shia. So Rav Yosef is telling us that he heard from his other Rebbe, Rav Yehuda. Rav Yosef learned by Rav Huna, and he learned by Rav Yehuda. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm a Rav. The machlokes between Hananya and his Tanakama is only in regards to whether you have a Rishus HaRabim at both ends. There, the Tanakama says you can be matir with a Tzuras HaPesach on one end and a Lechi, and Hananya says, no, you need a Delis on one end and a Lechi Akor on the other end. So machlokes is Sracha Mikan and Sracha Mikan, or Flacha Mikan and Flacha Mikan. Either way, that's the machlokes. But there is no machlos between the Tanakama and Hananya. Avos Sracha Mikan, you have Rishus HaRabim on one side, Ubika Mikan. Now, Ubika, Rashi explains, is a caramelist. That's not an Issa D'Oraisa to carry there from Rishus HaYachid. It is halachically, on a D'Oraisa level, permissible. It's only Visur D'Rabbanan. It's only Mid'Rabbanan prohibited to carry from Rishus HaYachid into a caramelist. So this Bika, a valley, an open area, is not a Rishus HaRabim. Right, we in the vernacular say, oh, that's a Rishus HaRabim. No, it's not. It's halachically a caramelist, and a caramelist is not a Rishus HaRabim. midrabbanan, we treat it like a rishus harabim for many dinim because it looks like a rishus harabim. That's why the rabbis instituted those additional gezeiros. In any event, if you have on one side a rishus harabim, osracha mikan, ubika mikan, and on the other side you have a karmelis, or alternatively, ubika mikan, if you have two karmelises, one karmelis on this end and one karmelis on that end, all you have to do, even according to Hananya, in that situation, is Oseh Tzuras HaPesach Mikan V'Lechi V'Kor Mikan. Here is no machlokis. Here Hananya is moded to his Tanakama that it is adequate to allow you to carry within this Mavui HaMefulosh if it's open up to on at least one side a Karmelis. Certainly on both sides a Karmelis. We'll ask in a moment, why do you have to tell me if it's open up on one side, why do you have to tell me on both sides? We'll ask that in a question in a second. But even the Hananya is molded to the Tanakama. In this situation, you don't need a Deles, but a Tzuras HaPesach would be fine. Just having the two vertical posts with the horizontal post or bar connecting them, or string connecting them, that's a Tzuras HaPesach, as we mentioned many times, that's all you need. Now the Gemara has an aside. It says, Hashto Sracha Mikan Ubika Mikan Osel Tzuras HaPesach Mikan V'Lechi V'Kor Mikan. He says, it's obvious that even if one of them is a Rishus HaRabim and the other one is a Karmelis, you can be Matur the Mavui to carry within it by just putting up a Tzuras HaPesach on one side and a Lechi or Korah on the other side. So certainly then, Bika Mikan or Bika Mikan Mibaya, did you have to tell me the case of a Karmelis on both sides? If even one side is a Rishus HaRabim, Hanani is molded to the Chachamim, then a Tzuras HaPesach is good. So certainly both sides are a Karmelis. Why would you have to tell me that then? You should have just told me the din of Sracha on one side, or a Placha on one side, which is a Rabbah on one side, and a Bik on the other side, a Karmelis on the other side, and I would know that Tzuras HaPesach is good. Certainly, in that case, certainly it's going to be good in the case of both of them being a Karmelis. So one says, no, you're right, that's true. This is the Chiddush that Rav Yehuda Merab is telling us by giving us this case. He tells us, Sracha mikan uvika mikan. If you have a Rishus HaRabbah Sracha on one side of the Mavi Mefulish, and on the other end, you have a Bika, a Karmelis, Nase, that is the same. That's what he was telling us. Kibikum ikan, ubikum ikan. That's no different than if you had two karmelises, one at each end. And that, therefore, is allowed to be matured by a Tzuras HaPesach, and you do not require a wall, even a door, even according to Hananya. Sasenus has a very interesting idea. He says, so why did he have to give it to us in this way? Why not just tell us? So he suggests to us that maybe he put it in this way to tell you that you can put the Tzuras HaPesach on either side. You might have thought you have to put the Tzuras HaPesach on the Rishus HaRabim side, the Sracha Flacha side, and you put the Lechi Kor on the other side. So Sasenus says, no, from the way he mentioned it this way specifically, comes to teach us it doesn't make a difference which side gets the Tzuras HaPesach and which side gets the Lechi Kor. Tosos says a different type of a chiddush. He says in Dibur Masru Bikra, he says, "V'lo mashvele, don't think the osel hashmin that the chiddush was over here. Da afilu hochi boi tzuras haPesach. You might have thought to say maybe that if it was a bika mikan or bika mikan, then you don't even need a tzuras haPesach. Maybe it would be just good enough for a lechi on one side and a lechi on the other side, a kor on one side, lechi kor on one side, a lechi kor on the other side. No, don't think that. That wasn't the chiddush over here. The chiddush is lashmin and the sagi tzuras haPesach that it's enough." Even if one side is just a rabbin to use the Tzuras HaPesach. That's the Chiddush over here. In any event, this statement was made by Rav Yosef in the name of his Rebbe, Rav Yehuda, who said it beferish in the name of Rab. But now, we're going to have Rav Yosef making another statement. In Masayim Ba, he says another statement, Mishmeid Rav Yehuda, that he said over the name of his Rebbe, Rav Yehuda, but he doesn't attribute Rav Yehuda's statement to one of Rav Yehuda's Rebbeim, either Rav or Shmuel. Now, what was this other statement that Rav Yosef made in the name of Rav Yehuda? He says the following scenario. Im haya mavui kala l'rechava. Ain't Sarach Klum. Now, here you have to know the cases. The diagram that we actually have in our Gemaras, in Rashi, is incorrect. Where you should look is either in the diagram in the Art Scroll Gemara, or you look in the Illustrated Gemara in diagram number 41, and ultimately we're going to need diagram number 42 as well on page 14 in the back of the Illustrated Gemara, or you can look for a detailed diagram sketch in the Pirush Chai on page 12, diagram number 68. Now, it's critical to understand these diagrams. That's why I mentioned specifically the location of them. If you don't understand these diagrams, you won't be able to follow the rest of the shir. Now, it's not a difficult rest of the shir on the level that we're going to learn it. We're going to do Gemara and Rashi. There's huge discussions of different ways to learn this in the Rishonim, and you'll see other diagrams of the Pirush Chai. We're learning it very straightforward and simple, like Rashi's Shita on the Daf. Now, what is this case? So, Rav Yehuda said, brought down by Rav Yosef, that his Rebbe Rav Yehuda said, if there was a Mavui, Now, this is a mavui mefulish, the same exact situation that we've been talking about. A mavui mefulish. So on one side it has a rishus harabim, a sracha or flacha, and on the other side there is eventually going to be a sracha or flacha. So if we just had that, then this would be the case that we had the machlokes between the Tanakama and Hananya. But here we have an additional factor. And if you look in the diagrams, this is called a rechava. Rashi explains, a rechava is a backyard. It's behind their houses, as opposed to a chotzer, lifnei habatim, Rashi says. So that's just a terminology that their courtyards in the front are called the chotzer. When you have a similar type of a courtyard in the back, it was not used as much, and it's called a rechava. A rechava doesn't have a lot of people using it, and therefore it's going to have a different status than a chotzer, even though we might argue they're both courtyards. One is in the front, one's in the back. What difference does it make? So usage is critical. And the front courtyards have different dinim due to these rechava, these back courtyards. Now, this scenario, as you can see in any of these diagrams that I just mentioned to you, so if you look in the Pirush Chai, for example, diagram number 68, you have this Mavi Mefulish. You can see it goes all the way on the left, there's a Shus HaRabim, all the way eventually on the right, there's a Shus HaRabim. And then you have the Mavi, which is a narrower path is way here, and it opens up to this wider Rechava. It's very critical that we'll have to see this the way it is. And if you look in diagram number 70, you can see what it looks like to a certain extent, if you were standing in the Rishus HaRabim all the way on the left, and now you're going to the Rishus HaRabim all the way on the right in diagram number 68. Except that there in diagram 7, they have a chotzer where we have the word rechava, and that's the next piece of Gemara, but it's the same exact idea. If you substitute in diagram number 70, the word rechava for where chotzer is, that's exactly what it looks like when you're looking through the mavi mefulish. This is critical, as we'll see in a moment, on the Omid Beis. For now, you just need to know that this rechava has a breach in its back wall, but it's a breach that's less than 10 amma, so it's considered a pesach. And that opens up into the Rishus HaRabim. Again, in diagram 68, that's the Rishus HaRabim that's all the way on the right. In the Art School Gemaras, that's the diagram that's on the top of the diagram, alongside footnote number 16. And again, in the Illustrated Gemaras, which has a very nice, beautiful, three-dimensional picture, you can see this in illustration number 41 on page 14. Again, very important to make sure you understand and have a picture in front of you to follow this Gemara, because otherwise it's a little bit difficult. So now, in this situation, Rav Yehuda said, Rav Yosef brought it down in Rav Yehuda without saying who Rav Yehuda learned it from. If you have this mavoi that goes into this rechava, and then the rechava has a breach at the back end. If the rechava doesn't have a breach at the back end, then the question doesn't get off the ground. It's not a mavi mefulish. Then it's a mavi sasam. And all you need is a lechi or a korah at the entranceway into the mavi from the Shus HaRabim. But here it's mefulish. It goes through and through, through this breach in the back of the rechava. And in this situation, ein tzarech klum. You don't need anything. We view it halachically, according to Rabbi Yehuda, as a mavui sosum, because this breach in the back lot in this rechava is not considered significant entranceway into the Sarabim to make this into a mavui mefulish. And the reasoning is, as we'll see in the Gemara and in Rashi, is because this rechava is not used very much. This is an unpopular area, so to say. And since it's not used very much, it doesn't ruin this mavui by the fact that it has an opening in the rechava to Rishus HaRabim. And therefore, all you need here is basically to say this is a mavui sosum, and you just need a lechi or a korah at the front entrance where the Rishus HaRabim enters into the mavui, and you need nothing else. And the rechava likewise doesn't ruin it to the mavui, even though there's no eruv in between them. Because the only time the rabbis instituted that you needed an Erev to go from one Rishus HaYochid into another Rishus HaYochid is if they're commonly used, one going into the other. But in this situation where the Rechava is rarely used, it doesn't ruin the Mavui, even though there's no Erev. And even though you could walk from the Rechava into the Mavui or from the Mavui into the Rechava, but it doesn't ruin your ability to carry within this area the fact that this is two separate Rishus HaYochids, one a Rechava and one the Mavui. So that's a very important din over here. And that is what Rav Yehuda is telling us. The Mavi Mefulish goes into the Rechava, which then has a breach in the back wall, but less than 10 amo, so it's not considered a full breach, and it's considered a doorway there. Since the Rechava is not used, ain tzarech klum. You don't need any correction on that side. You don't need a lechi or korah on that side. You just need a lechi or korah at the beginning of the Mavi, where it's directly in contact with the Shus HaRabim, as every Mavi Sosum requires. Even though it's a Mavi Mefulish, it has the halachic status of a Mavi Sosum. That's what Rav Yosef said in the name of Yehuda. Amalei Abaye. Abaye was Rav Yosef's Talmud. Now, Rav Yosef got sick and he forgot a lot of his learning. And Abaye would remind him of his learning. Throughout Shas, we have this. So Amalei Abaye. Abaye tells his Rebbe, Rav Yosef, Amalei Abaye, Rav Yosef, Hoder of Yehuda, this statement that you brought down Stam in the name of Yehuda is in fact Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda first learned by Rav, and after Rav passed away, he went to learn by Shmuel. So throughout Shas, we find statements Amar Yehuda Amar Rav and Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel. In fact, he would often bring back and forth to Shmuel statements that he heard from Rav, and Shmuel would critique them. We have this throughout Shas. In any event, so Abaye tells his Rebbe Rav Yosef that that statement that you made in the name of Rav Yehuda Stam is actually Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, the Shmuelhi. We turn to the Amud Beis. And the reason why it has to be Shmuel and not Rav, Rav Yehuda didn't make it up on his own, so he learned it from one of his two Rebbeim, either from Rav or from Shmuel. So he says, if he had said this in the name of Rav, we'd have a kasha, the Rav Adarav Bitarte. There would be a double problem, would be a double contradiction from the following statement that we're about to say over the name of Rav. That's what Abaye says, that proves that Rav Yehuda didn't say his statement over here about the Rechava in the name of Rav, but he must have said it in the name of Shmuel. What is this double contradiction that would be Rav Adarav Bitarte that Abaye is referring to? Because we have another statement. The Amar Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba, Amar Rav. Here's the statement of Rav. It was said over by Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba. And Rav Yirmiyah Bar Abba said the following statement over the name of Rav that's going to contradict the statement that Rav Yehuda just made. So therefore, Rav Yehuda didn't make it in the name of Rav. And what is this statement? Mavui shenifratz bimloo lechotzer. V'nifratz lechotzer kinegdo. Chotzer muteris umavui osur. Now that's a big statement that we just made. Let's look at it each piece by piece. We have the exact same scenario that we just talked about with the Rechava. Substitute where it says Rechava, substitute the word chotzer. If instead of Rechava, in every one of the diagrams, you just put in the word Chotzer. You can see this clearly in illustration number 70 in the Pirush Chai, or in illustration number 42 in the Illustrated Gemara on page 14, or you can see this in the diagrams that those of you that have the Art Scroll Gemaras have in diagram number 1, in footnote number 1 on page 7b1. So again, having a diagram in front of you is critical to understand this Gemara. But this Chotzer in place of the Rechava is the only difference between these two cases. And what is the scenario over here? You have a Mavi Shinifratz b'mlo l'chotzer. You have the Mavi that's going through and through. It's flush. It's absolutely not able to see either side of the Chotzer from where you are. That's why if you look at diagram number 70 of Perish Chai, that's exactly the viewpoint. If you're looking there, you can't see that there's a space to the left in the Chotzer, and a space to the right in the Chotzer, which you could see if you looked at the other diagrams. So in this situation, you could look at diagram number 72, and that's the illustration that we have over here to a certain extent. And you have, there's space to the left of the Mavoi when it goes through and through to the other Rishus HaRabim through this Chotzer, and there's space to the right in the Chotzer. But you can't see that. When you're in diagram number 70 and you're looking through, you can't see that space on the side. That's called parutz bimeloo limakom ha'asurlo. Now that's a new concept that we're introducing, but when you have two rishus hayachids, one going into the other, and you didn't make an error between them, so even though you're in your rishus hayachid, you're not allowed to carry in your rishus hayachid if there's another rishus hayachid that has, so to say, full ability to enter into you, from your point of view in the mavui, you're directly the same as the Chotzer. There's no difference between you and the Chotzer. You just keep on walking. You don't see the stuff to the left and the stuff to the right in the Chotzer. From the Chotzer point of view, if you're standing in the Chotzer, you see there's what are called Gifufim. There's the wall to the right and the wall to the left of the Mavui. So in the Chotzer, you can carry. The Chotzer is an enclosed area with an Erev Chatzerus, and it's not ruined by the Mavui in our scenario. But the Mavui is ruined by the Chotzer, because it's flush with it. It's parutz bimlo, it's totally open, l'mok maslo. And you're not allowed to carry in this chotzer to the mavui, unless you made an erev chatzer sheet of amayis. So therefore, in this situation, back to the Gemara, Rav says, this mavui shenifratz bimlo l'chotzer, it's totally flush with the chotzer. The chotzer has more to the left than to the right, but you can't see that from the mavui. And the back end of the chatzar has an opening less than 10 amos into Rishus HaRabim. So from the chatzar's point of view, that's a doorway. And you're allowed to still carry in the chatzar because it's in a fully enclosed area, has doorways into it, and they made an Erev Chatzeris in it. So the people in the houses go to the chatzar to the houses, and vice versa all over the place. So kinegdo, in this situation, chatzar kinegdo, so the chatzar is muteris. The people in the chatzar can carry from the house to the chatzar to the house, no problem. Umavoy osur, but the mavoy is osur. Now, the question is, why is this case different than the previous case? So, if Rav tells us over here that you can't carry because of the chatzer, the question is, Mestama, he says the same thing in regards to the Rechava, and if he says the same thing in regards to the Rechava, so Rav Yehuda said that the Rechava you can carry in. You can be mati the Mavi with the Lechi on one end, and that's all you need. And in the case of the chatzar, he doesn't allow, because this is Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba in the name of Rav, that you can't do that here. So obviously, the Gemara is saying, there's no difference between the Rechava and the chatzar. So therefore, if Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba says that Rav's opinion was that you can't carry in this situation when there's a chatzar there, Mistama, Rav's opinion would be that you can't carry in that situation when there's a Rechava as well. And therefore, Rav Yehuda couldn't have said this statement in the name of Rav. He must have said it in the name of Shmuel. That's the Gemara's statement. Amalei, this is what Abaye told Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef didn't remember. Rav Yosef was sick. Amalei, he says, I know, lo yadana. I don't remember. I don't know. I can't tell you where I got this from. However, I can tell you the following Maisa Shoya. Uvda hava bedura deravosa. There was a village here where there were a lot of shepherds. It was called the Shepherd's City, the Shepherd's Village. Okay, this Dura, the city, the Ravosa of the shepherds. And it had in it Mavui Shekol Rechava. It had in it a Mavui that ended up in a Rechava. Hava, that's what it was. But also the Kami, the Rav Yehuda, and they asked Rav Yehuda, can we carry in this Mavui or not? When we put a Lechi by the Rishus HaRabim's side, velo it's Trichale velo Midi. And he said, you don't have to do anything on the other side, you only have to do on this side, with the Rishus HaRabim, to put a lechi or a kor over there. And on the other side, even though it's foolish, you do not have to go and put in anything on the other side. That was exactly the statement that Rav Yehuda made. Now, I know for a fact that this is Rav Yehuda. That's why I said it in the name of Rav Yehuda. I don't know if he said it in the name of Rav or he said it in the name of Shmuel. No, b'kasha mishmei de Rav. If you're telling me that Rav said, in our case, that if it was a chatzar over there you can't carry, I agree with you. There's mistama, no difference between a chatzar or a chava, and therefore, b'kasha mishmei de Rav, tavi mishmei de Shmuel. So obviously, Rav Yehuda learned it from somebody. If he didn't learn it from Rav, he learned it from Shmuel. Below kasha midi, and then there's no problem here whatsoever. So Rav Yosef is essentially being molded to Abaye. If you're telling me what you just said, that Rav asked it if there was a chatzah there, so Mestama, Rav asked it if there was a rechava over there, and therefore I must have not known that this statement that I attributed to Rav Yehuda Stam was really Rav Yehuda in the name of Shmuel, but not in the name of Rav. However, the Gemara says not necessarily so. Since Hashta, now that we heard something else, Domele Rav Sheshes l'Rav Shmuel Barabba. Rav Sheshes said to Rav Shmuel Barabba. Or others say, the Rav Sheshes said to Amalei, the Rav Yosef bar Abba. He said to Rav Yosef bar Abba. We don't know which one he said it to. Whoever Rav Sheshes said it to, Azbar L'cha, I will explain to you what Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba. Now, I don't know if that's their brother, Mestama. He's talking to three brothers over here. And Rav Sheshes is saying, this is what your brother, Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba, said. And he said this to one of his brothers, either to Rav Shmuel bar Abba or to Rav Yosef bar Abba. In any event, he says, this is what Rav's statement was. Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba said the name of Rav. Kan she'irvu, kan shelo irvu. He made his statement in that situation only he asked it where they didn't make an Erev. If the people in the Chatzar had made an Erev with the people in the Mavui, so then they would be allowed to carry one to the other. In this situation, since the Chatzar is, again, Poritz bimlo l'makom asalo, so if they don't make an Erev together, the Chatzar ruins it for the Mavui. But a Rechava doesn't ruin it. As I mentioned previously, the Rechava is different than a Chatzar, and that's what Rav Sheshes is telling us over here. Dirav adirav nami lo kasha. Kan she'irvu b'nei Chatzar b'nei Mavoi, kan she'lo irvu. In fact, Rav would be able to say, no, the case of the Rechava doesn't ruin it. Just like the case of a Chatzar that was Ma'urav with the Mavoi, it wouldn't ruin it. So there's no contradiction to Rav. Rav would say in both cases, the Rechava functions like a chatzer that was ma'arev with the mavui. and then you can carry through both of them, and therefore the backside where the breach was in the Rechav or the Chatzer is less than 10 Amos. That's a Pesach. It doesn't require anything over there, and it's, even though it's a Mavi Mefulish, that back end with the breach in the Rechav or the Chatzer doesn't ruin it for the front end, that it's called a Mavi Sosum, in fact, even though it looks like a Mavi Mefulish, and all you need is a Lecha Yerkora. But if the Chatzer isn't ma'arev with the mavui, so then you have what we call parutz b'mlo l'makom atzlo. And in this situation, this chatzer didn't make an erev with the mavui, and it would ruin it for the mavui. So while you can carry in the chatzer, you can't carry in the mavui. Even, never mind from the mavui to the chatzer, you can't even carry in the mavui, because the chatzer ruins it. So you'd have to make some sort of a separation between the chatzer and the mavui on that connection between them. Either make a door, or it's a Pesach, or a Lechi or a Korah, and then the Mavi would be separate, and the Chatzer would be separate. But if they're connected from the point of view of the Mavi, that it's flush with the Chatzer, then the Chatzer ruins it for the Mavi, even though the Mavi doesn't ruin it for the Chatzer. But when they make an Erev, so then everybody is okay, and then it's exactly the same din as the Rechava. That is the chiddush over here that Rav Sheisha said. In this situation, there's no longer kasha d'rava d'rav, and in fact, Rav Yosef could have made his statement, which he said stam, in the name of Yehuda. It's in accord, according to Rav Sheisha, also with the opinion of Rav. This was a quite complicated shir. We did it very superficially. We just did it with the understanding of Rashi. You can see these huge tosas over here. There are many Rishonim that discuss this as well, but we'll stop over here. Hope everybody enjoyed the shir.